reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. When the days for Jesus being taken up were fulfilled, Jesus resolutely determined to journey to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On the way, they entered a Samaritan village to prepare for his reception there, but they would not welcome him because the destination of his journey was Jerusalem. When the disciples, James and John, saw this, they asked, "Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to consume them?" Jesus turned and rebuked them, and they journeyed to another town. As they were proceeding on their journey, someone said to Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus answered, "Foxes have dens, and birds of the sky have their nets, but the Son of Man has nowhere to rest his head." And to another he said, "Follow me." And that one replied, "Lord, let me first bury my father." But Jesus said, "Let the dead bury the dead. But you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, but first let me say farewell to my family at home." To him, Jesus said, "No one who sets a hand to the plow and looks to what was left behind is fit for the kingdom of God." Sisters and brothers, the gospel of the risen Lord.
Praise
to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Some 45 years ago, when I was in high school, so you can now calculate my, I was attempting to play the organ. And on a particular day, I was going to play my first piece, hymn, at a Eucharistic adoration service. They didn't trust me for Mass. So I had planned and practiced and prepared, and the organist that was in charge made sure that I was all ready, and I had gone over the song a billion times, and of course I thought I knew it by heart. So we came to that moment where I was going to play my first piece. Now the organ in this particular church was in the far back, and there was about a 2.5 second delay, and that was all part of the plan. So I began the hymn, and the people started singing. And about halfway through the first verse, I realized, oh no, I'm off. And what did I do? So you have two choices at that time. You can continue to play and think that you're not playing rightly because they're 2.5 seconds behind you. Or, as a young high school student, I freaked, and I pulled my hands up, and I pulled myself into the corner and hid. The priest that was presiding, who eventually became a bishop, came upstairs afterwards and looked to the music director and said, "Where is that person that was playing the organ?" And he kindly protected me and said, "Oh, he's someplace else." And then this priest went after this music director, "Don't ever let this person play again. It was terrible, da 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 da." At least that's my memory of it. Maybe it wasn't that profound. At that point in my musical career, which seemed to be doomed, I was surrounded by some wonderful people who gave me encouragement to continue to play, practice a little more, and be ready for the shock of this 2.5 second delay. Eventually, I became a regular organist and played quite a bit of music in that chapel. But that moment in my life gave me a choice. And as I reflected back on that choice, I could have just ended my career and gone on to something more profound. Or I could have listened to my own spirit of music
and the people that encouraged me to return again and to move forward. This experience came to my mind as we read the scriptures, as I prepared, because we are given the image in all the scriptures today that Jesus can come across as pretty harsh when the person says, okay, just give me a little more time. And Jesus seems to say pretty harshly, no, you can't go back. So whenever we are given those moments in our lives, I'm not sure, has anyone else had one of those kind of moments in your life? You had plans and it kind of fell, whether it be school or work or your first date or your first ask for someone to get married and they said no or something worse. Or whenever we have those moments in time, Jesus invites us to pause. Because in the gospel reading, the apostles around Jesus in their wisdom said, because the people of that town didn't welcome him and them, shall we call hell down upon them? And that's the kind of first reaction to many of us human beings. You know, so when the person doesn't give us the job, we want them to pay. Or we thought we did a great interview and they said sorry. Or we thought we did the best in a sports or some other thing and we get turned down. And Jesus pauses with the disciples and says, the scripture says that Jesus did not support them. In fact, he took them to task. And then he continued to move on toward Jerusalem to another village. The Samaritan village in the scriptures are always a code word for those who are not welcome, those who are other, those who are outside the community that the scripture was being written to, the Jewish community. It's always that code word whenever Jesus speaks of it or whenever the Bible talks about that. In these last days, as the United Kingdom made a choice about where their relationship with the European Union, I'm sure on both sides were wondering, shall we call hell upon the other side? A few weeks ago, with the tragedy in Orlando, targeted on the gay and lesbian ministry, specifically the Latino gay and lesbian community, it would be really easy after that moment that individuals and a country to say, we're going to call hell upon that person that did that. And in fact, it tends to get extrapolated that because he called himself a Muslim, that there is a sense that we should call hell upon all Muslims. We can think throughout of history, when we get to that moment of pain and struggle, and when we are not on the side that we wanted to be, to get accepted, welcomed, affirmed, blessed, whatever it is, we can in our mind and more importantly in our heart want to take the side of the disciples and ask Jesus, let's call hell upon this other person, this other group of people, this other nation, religion, whatever it might be. And Jesus invites us to a different way. Jesus invites us into a new way. And so he not only tells them not to do that, but he moves on. And when he moves on, he then has this conversation, like in the first reading with the prophets. The question is, are you going to follow me? And Jesus invites us into that profound following of Jesus, of him and his way, to be total. He is daily asking you and I, will I put my whole life into the hands of God? Now, he's not saying we can't take care of our parent who's sick. He's not saying that we can't go back and say goodbye. He's not saying that I had to give up my musical career. He's saying, will I move forward? Will I take what I learned from those struggling moments and move forward? Will I allow God to teach me in those moments that are painful, that are even hurtful? And in the case of shootings and killing, it is life-threatening. The Holy Father right now is visiting a country where there's lots of pain of history. And he's simply inviting us, as he has said, not only to identify a pain, a genocide in the past, but more importantly, he's calling all sides to reconcile. He's following Jesus' example. He invites us to that same example. It is a new way. It is a different way. It's not our human nature way. It's something that's beyond our human nature that wants to pull down fire on that other. Jesus wants us to think a different way. He invites us to pause. He invites us to take our time to this other city. And in that other place, Jesus invites us to discern, what is the other way? How can we see the other person in a new way? How can we see the city of Samaria and the town of the Samaritan in a new light? With all the history that Jesus was aware of, all the pain that came before, Jesus invites us into a new way. And he invites us to know that that new way invites us into new relationships. He invites us into a place in which not only do I befriend that painful moment of being told I played that piece so badly and I freaked out so inappropriately, but that he invites us into a dialogue that says, you can do it again. In fact, you can do better. You can, in fact, learn from your mistake. In fact, that priest becoming bishop became a really good friend of mine. The music director became a good support person of mine. Those people that we at the moment might call enemy, opposed, becomes the person that says, wait a second, let's think, let's redirect, and ask that central question of our faith, is God the center of my life? St. Paul gives us that in the context of flesh and spirit. And he invites us to turn our lives over to spirit, to God. And he says that that's above all other things. So he gives us that beautiful phrase that we should be commanded by the love of one another. This becomes really concrete in the hospital as a chaplain. Sometimes we're invited to the emergency room and we're visiting with someone who's a victim of a drunk driving or a shooting, and in the next few minutes we're in another room and we're the person who drove the other car or actually was the shooter. And in each of those places, I, on behalf of the community, is asked to do what Jesus did. And so at times we are comforting the victim, the person that was hit by the car or the gun shot. But sometimes we're also asked to be present to those who perpetrated that terrible experience. And sometimes we're invited as people of faith in the midst of those painful realities. It could be two of your children at odds with each other, or one group of neighbors versus another group of neighbors, or all those things as part of our lives. But sometimes we're even invited to another level, a third level. This is the Jesus level that says, wait a second, what can I do differently to help educate against drunk driving or the use of guns or gang violence? What can I do? What can I do that asks the deeper question, the bigger question? So Jesus invites his disciples. Okay, this problem with Samaria and the Samaritans that's been around, but Jesus didn't let them go to that place of anger and violence. He said, stop it. Don't do that. Then he invited them to reflect quietly, and then he dialogued with them and said, are you willing to give up your whole life, to turn your whole life over to this new way, the way of Jesus? So as we go about our week, as we pray for those who are struggling with fires in our part of the world, those who are struggling with the effect of torrential rains back east, as other places are dealing with political unrest or violence or wars, as the Holy Father tries to walk between the Orthodox and Roman rites of 1,000 years of disagreement and communities of faith that have been at odds, may we be open this week to pause, to reflect, to allow God's wisdom to affect us before we say or do something against that other. And might we ask that deeper question, how am I being called to give my life completely over to God, to Jesus, to the God who wants to journey with us? Jesus didn't just say, you guys got it wrong and took off. He stayed with the disciples. He stays with us when we are in our struggle. He encourages us. He challenges, but he encourages. He says, will you follow me? So as we go about our Mass today, am I willing to follow Christ completely? And what do I need to do in relationships, in my own world, my neighborhood, my friends, my family, our community and our world? What do I need to do differently to make sure that I'm following Jesus completely?